So let's start with a little thumbnail sketch of who these two new council members are. Let's start with Dave Carter. What can you tell us about him?
Okay. Well, I mean, Carter's he's a real blue-collar sort of guy. He grew up in Newcastle, and he now represents a district that's in the southwestern part of the county. It's mostly below the C&D Canal. It includes Middletown and Townsend, but the way the line's drawn doesn't include Odessa. So he's got the M and T, but not the O. Lives on a farm in Townsend. His father was a factory worker. He trapped muskrats in the marshes when he was a boy to earn money to buy Christmas gifts. He went to William Penn High School in the early days of desegregation, and he made friends with many low-income kids who lived in some of those struggling neighborhoods that are closer to Wilmington than downtown Newcastle. And in those days, he saw a lot of environmental problems firsthand: flooding, deteriorating wetlands, air pollution, explosions at chemical plants. From there, he majored in bio at UD and then went on to a 28-year career as a manager in the State Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. After leaving state government, he earned master's and doctoral degrees at UD, and then he took on leadership roles in organizations like the Delaware Audubon Society.
And how about Dee Durham?
Dee comes from a slightly different background. She grew up in Brandywine 100, right on the edge of Brandywine Creek State Park. Nature and environmental activities were a big part of her childhood. She spent a lot of time riding horses and exploring the park. Her parents were civic-minded Quakers who were dedicated to community service, and their nonprofit work rubbed off on her extensively. Durham spent about 10 years as head of Preservation Delaware, a group dedicated to rescuing historic structures, most notably the Gibraltar Mansion in Wilmington. And then she went on to work for a nonprofit in Pennsylvania whose top priority was fighting a proposed widening of Route 41 from the Delaware state line up nearly to Lancaster. More recently, she founded a nonprofit that's called Plastic Free Delaware, whose goal is to reduce the use of single-use plastics like styrofoam and straws that pollute the environment and threaten wildlife. And for her efforts with this group, she received a governor's award for volunteer service last fall.
So why do these two feel motivated to run for public office and take on long-time county council members?
Three reasons. First, as you can gather from the descriptions I just gave, both Carter and Durham are highly motivated toward community service. Second, both of them believe that the county council's membership did not include strong advocates for conservation and environmental protection. And third, both of them live in districts where they believe that the prior council members representing those areas had become more responsive to special interests than to their constituents. So in a nutshell, that's the reason why both of them ran.
We often see people heavily involved in civic groups or activists eventually make their way into public office, but Carter and Durham, a bit different based on what you were telling us, in that they come from this more environmental background. How unusual is that for Newcastle County Council, and is it a priority for both of them as they join council?
Dave Carter says that the council really hasn't had a member who's got a strong background in environmental issues since the early 2000s, when Karen Vineski was the council representative for the Newark area. And actually, that goes back more than a dozen years, because she served when the council still had only six districts, and now there are 12 districts plus the council president. Now, both Carter and Durham are quick to point out that it's not that council members oppose protecting and preserving the environment. Rather, it's that those sorts of issues haven't necessarily been a priority for them. So let's just say that these two new council members hope that they're going to have a role in adjusting and shifting the council's overall focus.
Do they each have signature issues that they may pursue on council, or perhaps a shared goal or issue that they may find common ground on?
Well, it's fair to say there are a lot of overlaps here, and you can also count on Carter and Durham to be working together quite often. As far as identifying signature issues, well, let's start with Carter. I mean, you know, given his environmental and regulatory background with DENREC and his district being in the southern part of the county, land use, especially its impact on pollution and on farmland preservation, will be his major theme. He's also interested in strengthening monitoring of septic systems in areas not served by county sewers. And he says that's an issue throughout the county, not just below the canal. For Durham, the signature issue is likely to be historic preservation, preventing the demolition of historic properties, protecting historic sites from development. Historic preservation issues also tend to be land use issues, and she has plenty of concerns about redevelopment projects along Concord Pike, the main street in her district. Her predecessor, Bob Weiner, did a very good job of keeping his constituents informed of land use issues in the district. Durham not only hopes to match him in this regard, but she also gives every indication of being more questioning of the motivations of developers and the explanations that they give than Weiner was during the latter years of his tenure.
So let's dig in a little bit more on what you were just talking about, which is land use. It's certainly an issue that the county council regularly deals with. Talk a little bit more about, you know, their respective approaches, Carter and Durham, on this issue.
Both of them think that the county's land use department has strong leadership and a good, solid professional staff, but they also see a need for some fine-tuning and for some prioritizing. Now, we haven't seen any specific proposals yet from either one of them, but Carter thinks that the county should consider redefining what constitutes heavy industry in its land use code. He sees that as a way of better controlling the redevelopment of the dozen or so former industrial sites within the coastal zone along the Delaware River. Similarly, Durham notes that the county sets aside money each year for open space but doesn't always use it. She'd like to see land use officials meet with organizations like Delaware Wildlands and the Nature Conservancy to help set better priorities for how to acquire open space and to work more closely with these groups, which have considerable resources behind them to actually purchase and acquire more lands and preserve them in that fashion.
And kind of building on that, there is farmland preservation. You talked about that a little bit earlier, particularly in connection to Dave Carter. It's also been a flashpoint recently in Newcastle County. Where do these two stand on what should be done in terms of farmland preservation?
Again, I think you'll see a lot of agreement between the two of them. More of an issue for Carter, again, because it's the southern part of the county that he represents, and that's where much of the county's remaining farmland is. Carter is already pushing to reorganize the county's Farmland Preservation Board, and he wants to see it better aligned with the state's agricultural preservation program. As you indicated, in the past, the county's appraisal process has given farmers more lucrative offers than they would have received under the state's program in exchange for protecting the land or preserving their land from development. Carter would like to see the county and the state work more in tandem so you can prevent this sort of bidding wars and to ensure the best use of the county's fund. And, you know, it's worth noting, you know, he sometimes wonder whether some farmers might encourage developers to suggest subdivision plans on their lands as a way of tempting the government into making larger preservation payments for lands that the farmers may or may not really be interested in selling off for development, but they wouldn't mind getting the money that's offered by the county, by the state, as an incentive not to develop the property.
Durham's district, the second, as you noted earlier, includes most of the 202 corridor. How to handle that, specifically in the northern end where the new Wilmington University campus is and some other projects may or may not be taking shape is being discussed. Where does she stand on what's next for the Route 202 corridor?
It's important to note that in many cases along Concord Pike, the properties there are already zoned for retail or business use. So you can't stop the redevelopment, but you can look at these subdivision redevelopment plans that have been filed and do your best to ensure that whatever does go up on these sites is really in the best interest of the community. Now, Durham, like Carter, recognizes a need for more moderate income housing in the county, and she's concerned that the apartment units that are being built or proposed along the Concord Pike corridor, at Concord Plaza already by Bacini Poland Group, at the old AstraZeneca site by the Deladon organization, the Capanos project at the former Brandywine Country Club. So she's concerned that if apartments are built there, that they're not going to meet the needs of this moderate income demographic. And she questions whether the people who are going to live in these units are actually going to work there. I mean, all these developers are talking about this live, work, play sort of environment. government. But, you know, it's in Newcastle County anyway, it's a fairly untested concept. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that either Durham or Carter is a big advocate of low-income housing. I mean, they're not saying that. But they do have a concern for the overall viability of these projects, you know, and what happens if the developers overbuild, they put in more apartments than they can actually lease, can't fill the rental units. That's got some long-term implications. Another factor, looking even farther down the road, that concerns Durham, Concord Mall is not it's not Christiana Mall. Let's just put it that way. And you've got that Sears, the last Sears store in Delaware is there, and we know what's happening with Sears. Durham believes that a couple of years down the road, you know, Concord Mall may very well be on its way to being converted into some sort of a multi-use project as well. And who knows what's going to happen there. So it's, you know, one more thing to keep an eye on, and another uncertainty in the Concord Pike Corridor.
Another issue at both the state and county level is property reassessment and its impact on school funding. Where do these two come down on this hot-button issue of reassessment?
Well, I mean, for years, reassessment has been the third rail of Delaware politics. You know, regardless of party affiliation, no elected official wants to touch it. You know, and with the ACLU's suit against the state and all three counties over inequities in school funding, no one should be surprised if the state and county government's hands are forced sooner rather than later. Now, we understand, of course, that, you know, this week the folks in the General Assembly are saying, no, we're not going to touch this, certainly not right now. Durham favors reassessment as a matter of fairness. She says that it's long overdue. Carter is taking an even stronger position on the issue. He believes that improving public education, including how it's funding infrastructure is set up, is the state's number one economic development issue. And that's a pretty strong statement right there. And for this reason, Carter says he's going to fight for reassessment, and he will advocate for it in county council. And he said if it costs him the chance to win a second term on council, so be it. Reassessment is, and improving the education system as an economic development matter, is that important to him.
Fascinating. So having heard all this, do we expect Carter and Durham to make an immediate impact on council, or may it take some time, perhaps maybe even another election cycle, before we can assess if their presence equals a significant change?
First of all, both Dave Carter and Dee Durham have strong backgrounds, and they've had successful careers. They're not the kind of people who are going to sit in the back of the room and let the old guard continue to do things the way things have always been done. Now, as for them having a significant change, that's a little bit harder to tell. I mean, right now, the council has 12 Democrats and one Republican. Before Durham knocked off Bob Weiner, the split had been 11-2. So, I mean, it's not like the control of the body has been flipped. And so there's going to be a tendency probably among the folks who've been on the council for a long time to say, well, yeah, we've always done it this way. It didn't work before, so why should we try it now? That sort of thing. You know, Carter and Durham are not going to accept that as a good answer, but it still remains to see how much influence they're going to have in terms of actually being able to generate and become real forces for change on the council and how it operates.